Okay, well, welcome back to the final hour of Coast to Coast AM. Winter Lake, our special guest, as we talk about Satanism. We'll take your phone calls and stories when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Winter, you've written that by 2050, man will achieve a satanic singularity with his machines. What does that mean?
Yes. I touched on it a little earlier, but basically, it is the sense that we have surpassed ourselves by the creation of our machines. Once the machines become sentient, they will merge with us, so we will become more advanced, and death at that time will be redefined. It's back to what I said was what computers used to be in a building are now in the palm of our hand, and soon what's in the palm of our hand will be in our blood. So it's just a satanic singularity. It's a one streamlined force that is occurring, and this will only be for a certain chosen few. It's not going to be for everybody.
Have you looked at 2012, and is there, in your opinion, anything unusual going to happen around that time period?
There's going to be earthquakes. It's going to be upheaval, but it's not going to be the end. There's a lot of just destruction in general, things that are occurring. But I do not think that 2012 is going to be as relevant as the 2011 time date.
Beyond the earthquakes, do you see any other earth changes through your remote viewing?
We are in change. McMonagall and a series of other remote viewers that aren't aligned with me philosophically.
Russell Targ, you know Russell?
Russell Targ is very serious. Putov is being very serious. These people are really in remote viewing. Again, I know them militarily. I know they're still attached to government entities, gray forces, as I like to call them. But I am not aligned with them as far as philosophical. But yes, I think the changes are going to occur typically through droughts and famine that are going to constrict the food. And there's going to be continuations of that through our population. It won't affect the United States so much, but it will affect other parts of the world.
Are you, do you know of Ed Dames, Major Ed Dames? Dr. Doom, we call him.
Yeah, he's a crackpot. Yeah.
Crackpot?
Yeah, he's a crackpot.
How come? What do you
because
mean?
Because he did the drugs. In the introductions and during Stargate, there was a lot of drug use going on. It's not talked about, but it's true. And they were experimenting on themselves, and he being one of them.
To enhance?
Enhance, absolutely. And he overdid it. And he won't admit it, but it's true. And he just talks about kill shots and all these kind of crackpot things that never come true. And it just is, like, ridiculous, you know. The predictions, you know, anybody can make predictions. That's not that difficult, but he's just so trying to grab a headline or attention. It becomes so blatant to sell his remote viewing classes. So it's all just a scam.
We had a Luciferian on some time ago who it was way out there.
Right.
Aaron Donahue. Did you ever hear of him?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so he's not part of your group or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
Well, what was his deal?
Well, he too picked lotteries and things like that, but he was a pure Luciferian. That's what he did. I mean, he practiced it, preached it.
Right.
You go online and track him down, and all kinds of horrendous things are out there. So, who knows?
Do they have a record?
I'm not sure. Let's go to Topeka, Kansas. Teresa, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Winter. Hi, George.
Hi.
Hey.
I just have a quick question, what your thoughts are on Ouija boards and tarot cards.
Well, I love them as tools. Ouija boards are amazing. They're great.
They conjure up all your friends, Winter. For
they can, and they're just great gateway tools. They're wonderful. And tarot cards are really, you know, endemic. They're very addictive. You can get so many different answers from the collision. I read for thousands of people, and I get some great results. So it's really interesting.
Do you go to, like, speaking events and things like that?
Not too much, but I can if I want.
All right.
I usually speak at some universities if I want, but not too much.
Primarily private things?
Yes.
Interesting. What kind of you know, you don't have to tell me who, but I mean, have you gone to parties where you were the invited guest and they want the whole thing? They want a reading and everything?
Yes. I've done full-on seances for famous people. Did one in the Winchester Ghost House. Conducted one at Leeds Gallanscroll Castle.
Ah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, at night when no one's allowed.
Did you ever figure out how we move those blocks?
There's just magnetic fields there. You know, the entire coast of Florida.
And he knows how to tap into it.
Absolutely. And he died with it, unfortunately. But yeah. The new owner does have an idea about it. He lives down the street from me, actually.
Off to Laguna Niguel, Victor's turn, west of the Rockies. Hey, Victor, thanks.
Hi, George. Nice to speak with you.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to remind the listenership that when, during the beginning of the show, you asked the guest if he would be willing to trick or obscure the audience with various information, and his answer was yes. Also, I wanted to remind everyone that with over 6.8 billion people throughout the world, over 5 million are religious non-satanic worshipers, and it's just the thing being conveyed throughout the evening is that they're everywhere, and the reality is that 100,000 is a mild fraction, and I just felt it was necessary to get my two cents in. Thank you guys so much.
Sure. Absolutely. But those 100,000... are pretty powerful people, aren't they?
They are. And they're got a lot of money, and they do a lot of influencing. But, you know, my numbers aren't completely accurate because there are people that are walking in the shoes of a Satanist, but they're not professing it. I know Christians that are more Satanist than I am. So they're just not owning up to it.
Would you say, Winter, that most people with huge money are Satanists?
It would be an oversimplification to say that, but I think they would be. They get there through cutthroat ways.
Could we call it ill-gotten ways?
That's right. You know, it's a common thread in our society. And the Masons and their groups and cults and all that is real. They have millions of dollars. I know a master mason that sold a building for $30 million for one man.
Jeez.
You know, they have extreme amounts of money, and they're not nice. They have people taken care of, you know. I mean, it's look at Osama bin Laden. He has $1 billion. He's hiding in Saudi Arabia. No one could touch him, you know. That Halloween costume he wears comes off, and he puts on a $5,000 suit.
I'm sure he does.
You know, he's alive and well. He has so much money. You know, I mean,
he's probably got his beard shaved. And
that all comes off. That's a Halloween costume.
Yeah,
I've remote viewed that. Other remote viewers.
That's a Halloween, really?
Oh yeah, that's all a joke. He could have been shot that in Nevada and then went over the hill and went to the casino. I mean, it's all he could have gotten his copter and took off. We're dealing with people on different levels. They have so much money, it doesn't even matter. If you have $1 billion, you own, you know, you just own it.
You own everything.
Disappear. Yeah, you just disappear.
Just your disposable interest a year you couldn't spend.
Yeah, and he's got it. And I'm not a fan of Osama bin Laden and his group, but, you know, whatever they're into, they just have so much money, and they're just there. I mean, and he's in the kingdom, and they've insulated him.
I think you're right. Let's go to St. Louis, the old neck of the woods. John's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, John.
Hello, how you doing?
Good.
You're probably familiar with Resurrection School that was at Merrimack and Hydraulic.
Yeah, sure am.
Okay, went there from 63 to 71, very devout Catholic boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived down on Spring, just south of the factory, and the house I never felt easy with, and my cross used to jump off the wall. Nail would stay intact. There was times that there was objects that would rattle in my mother's dresser drawer, and I'd go and find them, and my mom would be out in the backyard. And I always had a very uneasy feeling. Then about 1976 or so, when I was about 19, I was lying in bed looking at my door. I hadn't fallen asleep yet, but I was just in that state where I was about to drift off. I saw a figure. It was the most hideous, dark thing I've ever seen. As soon as I noticed it, it lunged through the air, hit me in the chest, felt like a brick hit me. I don't know if it went into my body or through my body. I screamed so loud that it awoke my mother. She came running down the hall, and my voice and my throat was ripped up for 2 weeks. I kept this story inside. Just recently, a couple years ago, I was out on the United States Nimitz, and I sat with a Presbyterian minister. And I thought the guy was going to tell me, you know, I'm nuts. Let's get this guy off the boat. Anyway, he said, let me describe it. They called a figure darker than dark. And that was about the best description. And to this day, I've been shaken.
And what? When did it start? Like, what made you get this house?
Well, I was born on the hill. you know where that's at.
Ira Gazi's.
You know, in okay. fact, the house that I was born in was two doors up from Fossey's Market, which is now Fossey's Deli. And we moved to this house on Spring. In fact, the address was 4409 South Spring.
Okay.
Moved to it, and I was about a year and a half old. And as a small child, I always told my mother, I want to go homey home. I want to go homey home, back to the hill. And I always felt uneasy. Now, years later, my father more or less lost his mind. The house became filled with dead dog carcasses. Jeez. My old man was carted off. And Paul Beckerly made me sell the house to the city. And now it's just demolished. It's almost like that movie Carrie, where this demonic house gets us.
How is your mental state currently?
Oh, I'm an attorney.
Aha!
You know?
So you just feel that you're dislocated in a sense. Are you still drawn to the place, even though it doesn't
exist? Not at all. I've driven by it, and, you know, I just have memories. But my life has been, I've had a lot of tragedy in my life. But the craziest thing is I always end up landing on my feet. I've counted 11 times where I should have been flat out dead. And, you know, it's just, I'm stuck around. But I have a very miserable life. But the people that I touch and represent, I square away their problems, and I've saved many, many lives.
Why do you have a very miserable life?
I don't know. I don't know if it's that spirit that hit me. But, I, you know, when I was at Resurrection, I was always the best singer when we'd sing. You know, and we went back then, you know, back in the day, you went to church every day. You know, and I always felt a very strong spiritual connection.
And what made you stop?
What, going to church?
Yes.
No, I go down to the old cathedral, you know.
So you still go.
Yeah.
And
but
you still can't rid yourself of this demonic power. You feel
well, I don't know. Yeah, it's, you know, I feel like, well, like you were talking about a curse.
Do you feel a weight on your back? Do you feel you're weighted down?
Well, that's interesting. I'm a little overweight in general.
No, not weight. I mean, do you feel like when you get up in the morning, you don't feel rested, you feel tired?
Oh, you know, that's why I'm up listening to your show. I can't sleep at night. I never get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. You may have a curse on you, sir.
It's hard for me to concentrate.
Yeah.
Whatever can go wrong will.
You have a curse on you, sir.
But we don't know who put it on him.
Yeah, it's probably something from the house or something ancestral. Do you feel weighted on your back? You feel when you get up, you're not rested. Your fatigue is constant. It's been going on for years.
Oh, yeah, constantly. And I've had bad luck. I had a roommate once, and I told him to leave, and he hung himself.
I'll try to help you. I'll try to help you. I will cast a small psychic spell for you to try to break this. Okay?
Well, I'd appreciate that.
Right.
Is there any way to contact you through the internet? Do you have a website? Or?
I think I'm up through the Coast to Coast right now. They posted my Facebook or something in that nature.
Facebook's there and your website's there.
Yes, and I'll help you, sir, because I do think you are under a curse.
Oh, it's horrible. But that figure that, you know, and what surprised me was that Presbyterian minister on the Nimitz, you know, he said, oh, this stuff happens.
He knew. Absolutely. He knew. All right, John, get a hold of Winter, and he'll help you out as much as he can. If you run into someone, Winter, who is very religious, a minister, what have you, do you cringe? Do you run away from these people or what?
I do not. Do not like the sign of the cross. However, it is odd. I've gotten an aversion to that.
If I sprayed you with holy water, would you melt?
You know what? I don't know, but I'd stay away. I personally do stay away from the contact of that.
You would not go into a church, would you?
I went into Rain Les Chateaux when I did a ritual there. That was the last church I was in.
That's in France, right?
Yes, yeah. And took some of the holy water there. I didn't have an issue. There's a devil in that church. But, yes, I mean, I have an aversion. The holy men are really, you know, into their white lighting, and they're the other way with it, and they're just embracing so many other things, but they're infested with doubt and hypocrisy, and it just, that just kind of makes me sick in a sense.
Let's go to Livermore, California. It's our old friend, Mike. Hey, Michael.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay.
Oh, what a great show. Winter, everything you're saying is so right on. I mean, you know, tap into the dark side, get what you want.
But you're not a Satanist, Mike, are you?
No, not at all.
Oh, well, but maybe you should have been for your Oakland Raiders this year. But.
Yeah. Come on now, the Raiders are good Christians. No, I'm serious. I think you're doing a good service to any Christian out there that's listening to the show with an open mind, because what you're saying is what God has written, what God has said. Adam and Eve, man is cast into sin.
But he's, and, Michael, he's a devil worshiper, this guy.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand that. But the bottom line is, how does it end up? How does it end? Look at Revelation. The devil is cast out. So I guess my question is, why are you siding with the loser?
Well, you know, I guess if it could be the answered so simply, Revelations is a wonderful contextual concept. However, it's all written of human hands with human issues. The 40 separate books of the Bible have been divided over time, been transposed and transcribed. So it's never a correct answer. You cannot invest your faith in a book. You got to invest the faith in yourself. And this is the inherent energy that I feel that makes it work for me and gauges onto the supernatural. That's where I stand with it. I don't put a faith in a book. I don't think there is a loser or a winner, because you know we're all going to die, brother.
Do you believe in a soul, Winter?
I do. I do think there is a soul. The key is to try to keep it together when you're dying. And it's very hard to do.
Well, it sure is.
Because there's just, you know, there's so much chaos going on.
But you don't believe in fire and brimstone?
I don't think so. There's not a fire and brimstone, and I don't believe in a celestial heaven either. I think it's energy, and I think it's moving constantly.
Do you celebrate Christmas?
I like the tree. I like Yule. I like snow,
presents.
I don't like the concept of Jesus Christ per se, is that date, because unfortunately Christ was born in August and not in December.
We're going to come back and take some final phone calls with Winter Lake, self-avowed Satanist, on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, the doctor who said that he linked autism to vaccines will be our special guest, talking about what has happened to his life and how he's been defending himself ever since. He said he's not against vaccines. He's just against putting all of them into one in giving them the kids. So a major story on that tomorrow on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, we'll take your final phone calls with Winter Lake, the Satanist, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We'll take final phone calls with our special guest, Winter Lake. Winter, if you had this moment to tell anybody anything about Satanism, what would you tell them?
I would say that if you are interested in rising from the doldrums of your life and finding a new power, you just have to find it through Satan. You can find it from within. You embrace who you are and stop denying it. That's what I would tell them.
All right, let's go to the phones east of the Rockies. Hey, Corey in Fort Wayne, Indiana, it's your turn.
Hey, George. Hey, Winter.
Hi.
I once had a guy ask me a question about a black dog and a white dog in my soul and which one was going to win. And I asked him if he wanted his answer or my answer. And he wanted both. So I said, well, it's the white dog because I fed it the most. He's like, yeah. He's like, what's your answer? I'm like, the gray dog in the corner laughing at the two dogs fighting. He didn't find that amusing. What I have to ask you about that is, do you find that you moved to Satanism because it was the closest thing you could find that gave the true essence of what we are as humans. I don't personally think that I need an entity to show that I am a powerful being. Obviously, through all the scriptures, there's something important about us humans. For some odd reason, we play an important role in this whole universe, just like everything else does. But was it that aspect of Satanism that gave you that power to feel more than just a piece of flesh?
Yes, absolutely. It was that. I've had it since I was a child. It just made me feel different, and I embraced the power. And you know, it's odd that you talked about the dogs, because I've been seeing dogs recently acting in strange ways. But yes, that totally is the reason. It just, I mean, the whole concept of normality gets thrown out the window once you get to this level.
Agreed. Okay. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Next up, we go to Holland, Michigan. Matthew's turn. First time caller. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay.
I absolutely love your show.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Winter. Great hearing you tonight. This is my question. I've been into witchcraft and practicing magical craft most of my life. And recently, I actually wanted to do something for the first time that I had never done before, and that was protect myself more or less by initiating a preemptive strike against someone who was basically, I was in school, and they were talking a lot and causing a lot of trouble for me. So while I went home that day, I basically engaged in some correspondence magic where I drew their spirit into a candle. And long story short, I ended up chopping the candle in half as a means to silence them so they couldn't hurt me in the classroom anymore. The very next day, I go to school, and for the next 3 days straight, this girl came in that morning with laryngitis, and for 3 days straight, she could not talk at all. And I was actually blown away and somewhat frightened by how effective my magic was. And I guess my question is there some kind of way to protect myself from some kind of backlash, some kind of magical backlash that it could hurt me from putting that energy out?
No, I don't believe in backlash. You know, I don't believe in karma. As I said earlier, the world would have been destroyed long ago if karma existed. You were deserved in what you did. The sympathetic magic, she was lucky to be alive. You did an attack against someone who was attacking you in a public forum. You had every right to defend yourself. And that is the nature of the supernatural power that you harness. And you need to embrace it. Stop being afraid of it. You have it, I can tell. And you're a natural-born witch. And you're probably very dangerous. But irregardless, you were justified in what you did. And through that justification, steps were taken and things were accomplished.
Good. Well, thank you.
It's pretty insightful for you to people. You pick up on people fast, don't you?
Yes. I'm actually picking up on you. You're a psychic as well, Mr. Norris.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
I may not be as intuitive as you.
You're very intuitive. You have a BS gauge. You're very intuitive, sir.
A political BS gauge. Let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Ethan, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ethan.
How are you doing, George?
We are well. Thank you.
Well, that's good. You were talking about Satan and had people call in. My first touch with Satan was there's an idea of you have to know Satan before you know God.
Hmm.
So I was at work one night and I had a taste of Christianity the week before. So I had a problem with my mother. I had a conversation with him. So I was recalling the conversation with my mother, and out of the blue, I started hating my mother. I don't know where these feelings were coming from. And I was thinking to myself, you know, when I come home, I'm not looking at her. I don't want to see her. I'm going to go to my father's house. I don't want anything to do with her. Then out of the blue, I just had these feelings. You know, those words that say, stand behind me, Satan. So I'm in the middle of my work. I work at night, and I just screamed, get behind me, Satan. My anger level went from 10 to 0 in a second. And he saved me. And I know you struggle with the idea, George, of how God works. Let me give you an idea for everybody out there. It's this little line you can remember. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Well, it's interesting what you're saying. When you did your invocation And it was probably more your own intuition, your own focused power that you generated. Satan was your moniker. How often other times have you done this?
Well, I certainly wasn't looking for him, and I was far away from God. How I became born again, Satan knew what was going to happen within that week, and it certainly did. Because I was angry with my ex-girlfriend. I was living with her, and she had a boyfriend. She was coming over and coming over. I walked home from work one day, and I was getting angry. And Satan fueled the fire. I was ready to do something. And I got upstairs, and I started shaking.
But you struggle with this, don't you? You struggle with the concept.
No, I don't struggle with anything. I got the Lord by my side now. But anyway, I was lying down in bed, and I started shaking. Satan was whispering in my ear, "You're going to get up, you're going to grab this baseball bat, and you're going to kill both of them."
Well, that's not good.
I had a foot off my bed, and next thing you know, God's hand touched mine. He said, I got you. Don't worry about it. He don't have a hold of you anymore. You're mine. And I became a Christian, and I've been a Christian for 4 years.
Yeah, you don't need that. That's for sure.
Don't kill anyone.
You know? Oh, absolutely. It's gone. That was all the anger I had.
It's not worth it.
Years bottled up.
Yeah, not worth it.
And it was a horrible feeling.
Oh, how many
people changed my life.
But how many people would have taken the bat and finished the job? Thanks, Ethan.
I think a lot of people would. It's hard to fight that temptation once you know in the crux of the anger. There is some common, knowledge to try to maintain, peace in a sense. But I think that caller was very deceptive.
Is that the Satan who's trying to push that?
No, it's man's carnal nature. It's animism. It's bringing the wolf within. That is just essential jealousy and drives of man's inherent need to fight and flight and feed. If that makes any sense, I don't know.
Well, you said you remote viewed to 2050.
Yes.
What's 2051 going to be like? Is it going to be
highly advanced? I mean, I think if things progress, I think it will be highly advanced. I think once that merger starts to begin, it may be sooner, but I think it's going to be more advanced. So let's hope. Remote viewing is never accurate. You have to take it with a grain of salt, and it changes all the time.
Constantly.
Because the present alters the future. The present alters it.
In the town of Harrisonburg, Virginia, Jeremy is waiting for us. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Winter. How's it going?
Hey.
I've been up for many hours. It's like a three-hour time difference here, and I'll try to be clear as I possibly can because I'm like falling asleep.
At 4:48 in the morning.
Yes, exactly. It's funny you're talking about all this stuff like curses and energy and all that stuff. For many years now, I've had like such negative energy and a lot of bad stuff has happened to me consistently. Pretty much up till now, actually been doing these things, which had to do with the emotion code. George, you had Dr. Bradley Nelson on one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the thing to maybe I have trapped emotion stuff, did that. Everything's been going great so far. But just want to get Winter's take on this, as far as the miseries that I've experienced. And it basically had to do with focusing on the past, not having the things I wanted, like the wants that that I had based on my past, like a good life or something like that, the people I want to be with, friends or whatever, and all that. And the things like, being with the right woman and all that. And I never got those. And of course, just like, I guess, misery built up and all that. And I come from like a Christian background. My parents both are Christians. Dad's actually pastor, but, when I was like 15 years old, I totally renounced everything because I thought it was crap. And
found the hypocrisy.
Yeah, the hypocrisy. You just read my mind. Like, I was about to say that hypocrisy
and
all
thing,
that.
Sir, the thing is that you've just hit the nail on the head. You are under a type of sympathetic curse to change your ways, and it's probably from your family. The energy they're projecting, the prayers they're praying for you. Oh, we pray for him to find the way.
That's
so,
true.
Sir, you must just take white candles and mirrors and just do some rituals constantly to try to raise your energy level, because you are being saturated with this religiosity, and it will eventually ensconce you and ruin your life. You will not meet the girl you want. You will not have the money that you want. You will not progress professionally the way you wish until this is handled. You are being held down by your own people, and it's just unfortunate they don't even know what they're doing.
It's funny too. They don't. I mean, and no matter how many times I try to tell them,
Tell them anymore. Say you found the way. Tell them you love Jesus Christ. Tell them whatever they want to hear to stop the prayers. Or just do the white candle rituals. Just invent your own. Just project. Because you need to raise your energy level. You're way in the doldrums. And it's not going to stop. It's going to continue to take you down. Car is going to break down. You know, tires are going to be flat. Cops are going to be chasing you around. It's just one bad luck thing after another. And it's been going on for years, hasn't it?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, It's like I my whole life, actually, even before I renounced it, before I was 15, like I was miserable probably the day since I remembered. I mean, my mom was not no good Christian behind the scenes. I mean, God, she like pretty much verbally abused me.
Should have been secretive about what you do. I'm always secretive. I don't involve anybody. You went and told them and were open, and that was the biggest mistake you could have made.
You should have been a psychologist, Winter.
Could be. I talk with a lot of people. There's a lot of human nature here. I look at things very logically. There's a lot of flawed logic in the world, but I'm a dark creature, and I'm just being honest about that.
I really don't see much of the darkness in you yet.
That's good. I appreciate it. You know, this is a natural thing that I feel, a progression of mankind.
And you're not tricking me, because I would have seen it.
No, I'm not.
Let's go to Seal Beach, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Joe, let's get you in. A couple more calls. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Winter. I was wondering if you know of people in the groups like the Bilderberg Group and Council on Foreign Relations or entertainers like Lady Gaga. Are they performing actual satanic rituals?
Those are not. They're just doing their art, and they were in the right place at the right time, that upper Broadway New York set. Lady Gaga, for example, had a series of other stage names, and she was just really trying and pushing for years. And so some of these people really aren't doing satanic rituals. Michael Jackson was hardcore into the occult. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but he was. He would probably be the most recent in history that really embraced his occultism, even through his blatant denouncements. But he was really a superb occultist and heavy into voodoo, and so is his family.
How about Elvis? Was he into it?
Elvis had people around him that were, and Tennessee is saturated with that energy, that old, good old witchcraft, black magic, and it's there. And just been there, and it was brought there by ancestors and Indians and stuff. So yeah, Elvis, he was around it. You know, he enjoyed it. You know, he dabbled in some things, but he never took it seriously. You know, it was always just parlor tricks for him.
Did you sell your soul?
You know, probably did.
Yeah,
I've done packs, and I reaffirm those packs. You know, with dark powers. And so, yeah.
You may want it back.
You never know.
You never know.
I think it's just merging with the powers out there, you know, so.
Let's go to Alberta, Canada. Gene, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Welcome, Gene.
Hello there. I think you can get a recall anytime you want there, Winter, huh?
Okay.
That's a guess. I've had just wretched luck for mostly health for 15 years at least. But on the other side, anybody who has bothered me or my mother has to some degree suffered, you know, some sort of problem. It's almost like we're poison frogs, eh? And the harder you bite us, the quicker you die, I guess. I mean, I'm not just trying to make sense of all of this. Every
how bad is the luck? Like, well, how extreme has it gotten?
Near death.
What do you think actually, it is? Do you think it's something from a person that crossed you and crossed
No. Well, actually, I'm not sure, but the last person who's crossed me was really playing with my life, yep.
And what'd you do?
Nothing. I was,
You don't wish him into the cornfield or anything like that?
No, I was very pissed off and, you know, I had a whole little string of thoughts of her being very impoverished and stuff like that.
I can tell, sir, that you're very devilish, aren't you?
He is.
Yeah,
he is. He's more so.
Have you spoken with this gentleman before, Nori?
No, but let me tell you something. He's more devilish, Winter, than you are.
This guy's evil. Yeah, he's got some darkness in him.
All right, my friend, we are out of time, but thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Winter Lake, his website, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. A Satanist. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy and Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.